From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Peace talks on the future of Syria continue, despite some deep disagreements among the main participants, which UN Special Envoy Staffan de Mistura characterized as a, quote, clearly wide gap, closed quote. Speaking in Geneva after discussions with the government and opposition, de Mistura said neither side had, quote, been yielding a comma, closed quote. He insisted that what some consider the key issue, political transition, was still on the agenda, while the Syrian side considers a cessation of terrorist activity and delivery of aid to be the main purpose of the talks. Carmen Cuesta Roca was in Geneva and filed this report.
After meetings with the government of Syria and the main opposition HNC delegation, Staffan de Mistura insisted that the talks are still on track, despite several major concerns. Chief among these are the increasing violence on the ground in the war-torn country and the slowing access for desperately needed humanitarian convoys. To date, the five-year conflict has claimed more than 250,000 lives and displaced millions.
The fighting which is taking currently place in some areas, particularly in Aleppo, is becoming particularly worrisome. Our assessment, however, and when we compare it to what used to be some time ago, is that the cessation hostility is still holding in many areas.
This has led the HNC group to suspend its formal participation in the negotiations at the UN to express their concern at the deteriorating situation on the ground, de Mistura said. But he added that the HNC has agreed to remain in Geneva to continue discussions with him, particularly on the key issue of political transition as detailed in UN Security Council Resolution 2254. And although de Mistura conceded that the gap is clearly wide between Damascus and the HNC on the shape of a future Syrian government, he said in his 46-year career at the UN, he had never seen a conflict that was without difficulties. Earlier, the government of Syria delegation warned against grave and provocative action by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Chief negotiator Bashar al-Jafari criticized an Israeli cabinet meeting held over the weekend in the Golan Heights, a disputed border region controlled by Israel since 1967. Al-Jafari then insisted that Israel had close ties with terrorists active in Syria before claiming that an opposition spokesperson present at the talks was a terrorist who had called for the shelling of Syrian towns.
Welcome to you all.
I'm
pleased to brief you on the session that we held this morning with Mr. de Mistura, the special envoy and his team. At the outset of the meeting with Mr. de Mistura, sufficient time was set aside to discuss the grave, irresponsible and provocative actions taken by the Israeli Prime Minister, Mr. Netanyahu, to call for a meeting of his government in the occupied Syrian Golan. The Syrian government reacted to this Israeli provocation by sending two urgent letters to the Security Council and the Secretary General, requesting them to immediately intervene to condemn the holding of this meeting and to request that no such meetings be held in the occupied Syrian Golan in the future. This is especially as that action is in total contradiction with this Security Council Resolution 497 of 1981, which was unanimously adopted by the Security Council and which considered that this decision of the Israeli occupation to impose its sovereignty, laws and administration on the Golan is null and void and has no legal effects internationally. We reaffirmed to Mr. de Mistura Syria's right to recover the occupied Syrian Golan to the lines of the 4th of June of 1967 by all legal means according to the UN Charter, including Article 51 of the Charter on Self-Defense.
إن هذا السلوك الاستفزازي
الإسرائيلي provocation against our people, our state and our government confirms without any doubt the cooperation between the Israelis and the terrorists of Daesh and the Nusra Front on the demarcation line in between where the Golan is and where UNDAF troops are positioned.
والمتحدة المنتشرة في الجولان. كنا قد دقلنا مرارا وتكرارا الى عناية
We had repeatedly drawn the attention of the Department of Peacekeeping Affairs in the UN with documented information on Israeli cooperation with the terrorists of the Nusra Front and Daesh in the occupied Syrian Golan. We submitted irrefutable documents to the Assistant Secretary General on Peacekeeping Affairs on the Qatari and Israeli involvement in the abduction of members of the Philippines contingent in UNDOF.
عناصر عملية حفظ السلام في جولان الأندف المناضل السوري صدقي المقت الذي اعتقلته إسرائيل
The Syrian activist Sudqi al-Maqt was held by Israel for 27 years. That is the same period during which the great South African activist Nelson Mandela was held for fighting apartheid. He has been rearrested once again by the Israeli occupation forces for having documented by video the cooperation in the Golan between the Israelis and the terrorists of Daesh and the Nusra Front.
ليس من باب المصادفة على الإطلاق أن التصعيد الإسرائيلي
It is no coincidence at all that this Israeli escalation was accompanied by irresponsible statements by members of the so-called Saudi delegation in the inter-Syrian talks here in Geneva.
فقد استمعنا إلى تصريحات غير مسؤولة.
We heard irresponsible and provocative statements by some members of the so-called Saudi delegations calling for attacks on the Syrian Arab army, the revocation of the cessation of hostilities and the shelling of Syrian towns.
كل ذلك جرى في بشكل متزامن.
The fact that all that happened simultaneously clearly indicates that there are close ties between the Israelis and, I regret to say, some Arabs and some terrorists within Syria.
بعض إرهابيي الداخل في سوريا. أشدد فقط على نقطة أخيرة في هذا المجال ألا وهي
One member of the Riyadh or Saudi delegation has reportedly said that an element of the Ahrar al-Sham group, which is linked to, with the terrorist Nusra Front, is in Geneva participating in that Saudi Riyadh group.
السعودية في الاجتماعات حركة أحرار الشام الإرهابية
The Mufti of the group Ahrar al-Sham, which is a terrorist group linked to the Nusra Front and Al-Qaeda, is a Saudi individual whose name is Abdullah al-Muhaisni. This Mufti has issued fatwas calling for decapitations and for eating livers of people. He is bringing us back to cannibalism. This individual's name is on the list of terrorists adopted by the Security Council.
الإرهابيين التي أعدها مجلس الأمن. أوضحنا للسيد ديمستورا أن
We told Mr. Demistura that what is being achieved in New York is being undone here in Geneva.
لأن مجلس الأمن اعتبر أحرار الشام.
Because while the Security Council has considered that the Mufti of this group Ahrar al-Sham is a terrorist. This group has a representative here in Geneva who is accepted by the United Nations. Today we held a useful session with the Special Envoy, Mr. Demistura, and his team. We exchanged ideas on important issues related to the intra-Syrian talks. Some of these ideas had already been raised in previous sessions. Some other ideas were raised for the first time in today's session. We submitted to Mr. Demistura a Syrian national paper with our comments and amendments on the 12-point paper that he had submitted to us. We are waiting for him to come back to us with the reactions of the opposition groups after sounding them on this paper.
سنعود إلى.
We will be meeting again with Mr. Demistura on Wednesday at 11 o'clock.
شكرا لكم.
Thank you.
The talks are due to continue until Friday, at which point there is expected to be a pause before the UN negotiator continues discussions with all sides. Carmen Cuesta Roca, United Nations.
Brazil's President Dilma Rousseff blasted the right-wing opposition in the lower house of her country's parliament after it voted to move impeachment proceedings against her to the Senate for a final determination. She called the impeachment case a process without substance. Despite this, Rousseff said she is ready to face the Senate proceedings over what is essentially a budgetary bookkeeping dispute, a charge of manipulating government accounts to allow continued funding of important anti-poverty programs. Should the Senate approve an impeachment measure by a simple majority, Rousseff would be required to temporarily step aside as president for 180 days while the Senate convenes a trial to consider the charges. Vice President Michel Temer, a member of the right-wing opposition, would assume the presidency in the interim. If two-thirds or 54 senators vote in favor of impeachment, he would serve out the remainder of Rousseff's term, which ends in 2018. But the former guerrilla fighter who was imprisoned and tortured after taking on Brazil's U.S.-backed military dictatorship said she will not be intimidated now.
Despite a feeling of much sadness, I have enough energy, strength, and courage needed to face this injustice. I will not be knocked down. I will not let myself be paralyzed by this. I will continue fighting as I have done it all my life.
More than 1,000 people rallied at the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C., continuing a protest that began last week against the influence of money in U.S. politics. CCTV's Dina reports.
Over the past week, American voters' anger and frustration were on full display on Capitol Hill. Thousands of activists are protesting big money in politics and barriers to voting. Analysts say donations from big corporations and billionaires have drowned the voice of the public. Statistics show most of the congressional elections are won by candidates with the biggest amount of capital. As a result, policies reflect the interests of backers. Washington Post figures show major U.S. enterprises and the rich have donated about $600 million U.S. dollars to super political action committees. About 40% of the donations are from some 50 super rich families. It's estimated the donations will soon exceed the amount for the 2012 presidential election. The fear is that money is deciding democracy.
Meanwhile, here in New York, Tuesday's primary face-off was expected to draw an unusually large turnout among both Democrats and Republicans. New York is usually a minor player in the presidential elections here, despite its size, but its importance in this year's election is increased as the race to secure the nomination for both Democrats and Republicans is undecided. Candidates in each party need to win their primaries in the Big Apple very badly, and that's put the city in the spotlight ahead of Tuesday's contest. For more on Tuesday's primary, we spoke with Professor Anthony Montero, our political consultant, with whom we've been having ongoing discussions about this year's presidential election.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Looking at today's primary here in New York with wide eyes.
And much anticipation.
I spent some time, there was a Earth Day festival here in Ossining, New York, in Westchester County, and on Saturday, and I spent some time down there, about 4 hours, hanging out around Bernie Sanders' table. Interestingly, there was no Hillary Clinton table there, and there were about six people that were personing a Bernie Sanders table. But I was talking to different people there, and I was testing some of the theories that you and I have been discussing over the past few weeks. And one of them, in particular, that I find intriguing, and I know you do as well, is the possibility of some class consciousness being shared between workers behind Trump and workers behind Sanders. And I asked some questions about that, and I found actually that, and I was particularly interested in whether or not the Trump supporters would be willing to support a guy who calls himself a socialist. And I was surprised at how readily they were willing to do that.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. And, you know, what so many on the left are getting wrong in this whole thing is the awakening of a level of class consciousness in this campaign. And what they're saying on both sides is that there's something wrong with this neoliberal globalism, and in particular, these huge trade agreements like NAFTA and TPP, and that we cannot afford this big military spending, in particular, the U.S. empire of 1,000 military bases in 130 countries, and particularly the big ticket ones like NATO and the nuclear shield, the nuclear and conventional presence in places like Northeast Asia. And certainly Trump has raised the issue of the U.S. Role in Ukraine and the, you know, initiation of this new Cold War with Russia. So I am not surprised at all. And it's a welcome development. And sadly, too many on the left are locked into a type of dogmatism and so on that they cannot hear or see what's going on.
Yeah, you know, what I find ironic about that is that many of these people that consider themselves Marxist are putting ideology as the source of the consciousness that the workers should have, as opposed to what Marx taught us, which is that consciousness comes from objective reality, from objective conditions, and the objective conditions have shifted and forced this consciousness.
You know, and just to add to that, you know, Marx always talked about the fact that the class struggle takes place in and through what would appear to be chaos, what would appear to be something other than class issues and class conflict. And you know, the other thing, you know, an analysis of the present stage in the development of capitalism and of imperialism. I think there's been a poverty of scientific and objective understanding, and so much that is occurring on the left is a kind of armchair subjectivity. They're not out there with the people, and they don't hear the people, and they don't understand the people. This is a huge moment, and this New York primary, however it goes on the Democratic side, and that's still up in the air, is going to be huge, because these two movements, these two candidates are running neck and neck. And you know, New York City is the command center of international capitalism, and the center of the American empire. And as we all know, if Hillary is the victor in November, certainly Wall Street will run the White House.
Yeah, again. Or still.
Again. Yeah.
Yet again. you know, one of the things, of course, that is obvious that should be something people should take note of is that the movements that you've referred to since we began these discussions, that behind Trump and Sanders, both contain within them many, many unemployed, many, many heavily indebted, many, many with no prospects for an improvement in those conditions. And the objective condition of neoliberal capitalism itself teetering. Professor Wolf describes that in some considerable detail here from time to time. And, you know, the ability of it to continue to suck resources out of what's both a shrinking globe for it and its domination and needing a higher return on people that are completely impoverished is unsustainable.
It's unsustainable. And you know, I would agree with that analysis and say, you know, in defense of some of my friends on the left, that in fact, you could read Bernie Sanders as a effort to reform capitalism. That certainly there are many in the establishment, in the elite, in the capitalist class who understand what Professor Wolf and others on the left have been saying, that this is unsustainable. And not only from an economic standpoint, but politically, and continuing this wide inequality will only lead to the destabilization of the system itself. So you have these two things, the objective unsustainability of this form of capitalism, which might be the only form available to it at this time, and on the other side, the social political destabilization because of the fact that the people will no longer accept it. So, I mean, we're at one of those great moments in history where we could begin the process of the transformation from one system to another superior mode of the organization of society.
So then the question becomes, well, let me back out of that for a second. You have whatever machinations are going to take place in Cleveland at the RNC, and then whatever machinations are going to take place in Philadelphia a week later at the DNC. And we're talking the 18th to 21st of July in Cleveland and the 25th to the 28th of July in Philadelphia. So you have whatever's going to happen in those two places, and then you have the aftermath. You know, if they steal it from Trump or the people behind him perceive that it was stolen from him or he just doesn't get it, there's all of those people with no one to get behind in the race, except perhaps Sanders. And if they deny Sanders as well, and or you have those people to deal with, and a need objectively, if you're going to force a change in systems, to somehow unify them.
And that's the key question. And that is the big question. Out of this, can you unite the victims of neoliberal capitalism? Can a new unity of the people begin to take shape? And that is why what we're going through now is so critical and so decisive, because, you know, either way, in some senses, either way, the people have a path to victory. And I'm not talking about in the election, a path to a people's victory. And that will be, that will go through all of the processes of building unity, of recognizing commonalities of those people who come from the right and the Tea Party, who are poor, who are working class, who, you know, are losing their home, you know, the whole nine, and those coming from the liberal position and from the left, more left wing, recognizing the same thing, recognizing commonalities. That's why I think this Verizon strike in the middle of the New York primary is so crucial, because in some ways, just like the teachers in Illinois, the Verizon workers in New York could constitute a leadership, a organized vanguard in this broad sense of this new consciousness coming from within the working class. And that's the key thing, that this consciousness is arising from within the experience of working people and lower middle class people and young people who are burdened with student debt or who can't even get to college. You know, a consciousness is emerging organically out of their own experiences with neoliberal capitalism. And this is huge. And it, you know, in a lot of ways, Don, this is the logic of the way it should happen. This is the necessity, the inevitability, the inevitable way that class consciousness arises, not from outside, but from within.
not from teachers or a vanguard, although that has a role, but from experience.
That's right. That's right.
You know, looking at that.
I didn't mean to overtalk.
No, it's fine. That particular point, looking to move through the historical weight that we carry, and the divisions, you can see clear divisions ideologically, to the extent you could call it ideological, between the group behind Trump and the group behind Sanders. However, they face the same objective conditions and the same problems. So looking to unify, for example, if Trump is denied the nomination, unify Trump supporters behind Sanders or bring them to Philadelphia to try to help force Sanders onto the ticket. I thought the main problem would be ideological, and that being they will call anyone a communist in a minute. And in fact, many of them call Sanders a communist, as Trump has. Yet, I was surprised. And talking to some people that I know that have that mindset right here in Austining, how easily they were willing to support Sanders, A, because he would bedevil the political process like they see Trump doing, and B, because they need a job and they think they're more likely to get one in the short term with Sanders than with Clinton or Cruz or Kasich. So then you got the problem on the other side, which is where the real historical weight is, because they have a serious ideological problem, which I share with the racism that is inherent in some of the statements that Trump has made, and in general in the Republican Party, which, you know, is, of course, the party of the white supremacist South and has been since the 60s. And yet you have the objective need to get past all of this to unify. So how would you suggest people approach this, trying to organize among the left?
Well, you know, at this point, the left might be a larger problem than the two sides that you previously mentioned, because so much of the left is outside of the working class. And because of its position outside of the working class, does not understand or hear the working class. And certainly there's been, and of course you have to, you know, give the Republican strategists a lot of credit for this, since the Nixon Southern strategy, they have isolated and separated big chunks of white workers from what is this broader left, be it in the union movements and the other social justice movements, and therefore much of the left had given up on ever winning back or ever, you know, being able to talk to that part of the working class, which was, you know, supporting the Tea Party or the Republican Party. But now we have a different situation. And I think those people on the left who had never thought there would be an opportunity to talk to the more conservative and right-wing elements of the working class, now that opportunity presents itself. So the left is kind of a problem, or some of the left is kind of a problem, and they're saying, to hell with all sides, elections are not the path to revolution, Bernie Sanders is not a socialist, Donald Trump is a fascist, the whole thing is corrupt and rigged, and all of you who have anything to do with it are dupes, opportunists, or sellouts. And you've done it before, because Bernie Sanders is the Barack Obama of this election cycle, and this happens every 4 years, and Bernie is going to play the sheepdog role. Well, that's not quite the way to look at it. And I agree with your approach that we have discussed over the past weeks, that you have to look at it not from the top down, but from what is happening among working people, and especially among white workers who have been, you know, kind of outside of all of what we have been talking about for many decades. And now I think we see an awakening and a growing class consciousness among them.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.